So first, I'd like to welcome everyone to another CIF Real Estate Investment video. My name is Brad Taylor. I'm the Director of Asset Management. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce you to Scott Fong, the President and Founder of CIF and a good friend of mine. He's going to tell you a little bit about some of his personal story and experiences. And let's see if he's there. Scott, you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi, Brad.
Tell you what, I'll go ahead and let you get right into it. And I guess let's just start with the mission statement. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about why you started CIF, the value proposition, and then some of your personal story.
Sure. So I'm excited about this. I think that I'm passionate about the real estate industry, Brad, because I think there's so many inefficiencies in the marketplace, and we're just beginning here. So I'll start off in kind of stating the mission statement or value we think we bring to the clients here. So at CIF, we believe our greatest value to our investors is to act as a third-party advisor between our real estate partners. And real estate partners defined as realtors, mortgage brokers, and property managers. So we feel like by changing the playing field, being this third-party advisor, we can get the best pricing, service, and investment options for the client. Ultimately, in real estate, individual investors are on their own.
It's very true, Scott. I mean, it's hard for, obviously it's a lot easier for a very experienced investor, someone who has a big team, but for the beginning investor or someone who just has a couple of properties or a smaller portfolio, they don't have that same leverage. And I think that's kind of what you're saying about allowing them to get the best service and pricing by having that third party objective advisor, which is CIF. That's a good point. And then I think another good thing was, so why don't you go ahead and tell them about your personal story, maybe when you bought your first investment property. And I think those experiences will kind of highlight some of the inefficiencies or, again, the reasons on why the company was founded.
Okay, sure. So we started, I started the company here in 2003, and CIF brings a unique blend of financial planning and real estate services to our clients. And I'll explain that later on. And it gives our clients a way to gain greater control over owning and operating income property. You know, I'd always been in the equities market. My background is as a financial planner from the mid-90s. So I'd always dealt with stocks and mutual funds and equities. So, you know, in 2001, when I still was a financial advisor, I decided to buy my first piece of real estate and investment property. And boy, was I surprised at what happened. So here's what happened. I did a little research, bought a four-unit property up in Portland, Oregon. Fortunate enough to have a great mortgage broker here in San Francisco that could do loans up there through one of my networking groups. Now, finding the other two pieces, there was a little bit of a problem in terms of they did not meet my expectations, and they were not the best resources. So I found a realtor up in the Portland metro area, probably in the top five of all realtors, thinking, wait, this is a real good choice, obviously a high producer, someone who's been in the industry 20 years. Well, guess what? Great sales guy, not great on execution. After the deal, I kind of felt like he didn't negotiate the best for me and kind of pushed me to what he wanted to do. Good guy, don't have anything bad to say, but I just didn't feel like I had much buying power or control over everything. After that, you know, we close. I'm happy. Boy, this is my first deal, thinking this is exciting. I get referred from my realtor to the property manager. Property manager, you know, I think is doing okay, get good references. What do I find out? 3 months later, tenants call, say the property manager is not returning the call. I find out, make a surprise visit up there, that they're not doing their job, they're not returning calls, and they're actually selling real estate on the side. So what I realized, Brad, was, wow, how inefficient is this process? I have to find my mortgage broker, my realtor, and property manager. And not only that, who oversees and who is accountable for all this?
Yeah.
That's when I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh, wow, who can help me through this process? After the sale, after I had a little bit of buyer's remorse.
Can you maybe elaborate on why you think there is no real estate advisor like there is for the financial market?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, you know, it's my biggest business model or what I try to help the client is always trying to find those little holes in the marketplace in real estate and trying to fill those holes, helping the client. Why there isn't a real estate financial advisor, I'm not quite sure. But I also know this is after the close of the deal, no one's there. The property manager is not really advising you on the performance of the property. What I got in the mail, though, Brad, was a lot of postcards a year, 2 years after. Want to sell your property? Do you want to buy another property? And I think there isn't one because the market is very difficult to capture. I mean, if you think about it regionally, realtors only work in the areas they know, and they're not paid to manage your property and the performance for the life. It's paid on a transactional basis.
That's right. And then just to clarify, Scott, what I really should have said to be more clear was there is a third-party advisor, and that's really what SIF's role is. I kind of misstated that. That is what SIF does. They are that third-party advisor. But before that, or traditionally, there really is nobody to give you that third-party objective advice. I just wanted to clarify that, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. We are that third-party advisor. We're that person. We work between, as I mentioned in our mission statement, we work between the client and the real estate partners to make it more efficient so they get the best service, pricing, and overall returns. Yeah.
And then something else you said, Scott, that I thought that was interesting was that the realtor kind of pushed you in a direction to purchase a property that maybe you weren't 100% sure about. I know one thing we talk about a lot is with our clients, before we ever recommend an actual property or type or location, is really the personal situation. Maybe you can kind of elaborate on how we work with clients to figure out what's best for them based on, you know, goals, income, assets, and all those elements.
Sure. We have five distinct services. One is our consulting services. Another is acquiring property. Another would be selling your property, 1031 exchanges, the solution, and also asset management. How we differ is before we even get into talking about real estate with a client, we first want to know their overall financial picture. In the past and currently right now, real estate is treated purely as that transaction. And how can you make great recommendations when you don't know the overall situation of that client? So what we do is our first meeting with a client, we get together with them, look at their overall situation. And to be honest with you, a lot of our clients who want to buy real estate for the first time, how we differ is we basically look first. We get a snapshot of their picture before we make any decisions where to go.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Scott. And kind of adding on to that, I think not only us being that objective third party and really wanting to take care of our clients, we wouldn't want to put someone in a position to where they're really highly leveraged, they buy a property that, you know, is maybe too much for them, or put them in a situation where they might lose. That wouldn't be objective, and that wouldn't be in their best interest. So far we've heard a little bit about your personal story, your own experiences, and I think that was really key to see some of the inefficiencies and things that were missing in your transactions. I think it happens quite often, more than people know, which again highlights the problems. And then the solution would be the opposite, to really know what you're looking for, what's right for you personally, and then have that team to be able to facilitate all the aspects of that transaction. Again, that's what we do. You can kind of elaborate on the internal team, the external team. I know people might not really understand how we work with all of our partners, or how we're able to reach as far as we are in different states and across the country. So why don't you go ahead and just speak about the team and how that works?
Sure. Well, first of all, if we look at a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and if an individual works with that realtor, individual investor, he or she doesn't have any buying power. That's one transaction, maybe two transactions. But that client or that investor doesn't have the ability to work with that realtor, you know, and produce 40 to 50 deals all the time. I mean, it's not that they don't have leverage. It's not like they don't have negotiating power. But the reason why I speak about this is our team is a lot broader and a lot larger than just the people who work here at SIF. Is our team is really, obviously myself and you and administrative people here in the company, but also the bandwidth of real estate professionals that we work with across the country. When I say that is, it's very, very just enlightening to me to be able to work with real estate professionals who have had 20 years experience, realtors, to have SIF explain our process to them, whether they're in Salt Lake City or New York City. When we help buy that property or sell that property for the client, most of our clients are here in the Bay Area right now, and they own properties throughout the country. But our bandwidth goes a lot farther than that because our partners, such as the realtors or mortgage brokers, are really part of our team. They don't work for us, but as you can understand, as we facilitate and help negotiate on behalf of the client, whether they're buying or selling that property or doing an exchange, that's part of our team. That's what a client is paying us to do, is to making sure they get the best value, the best properties. If they're selling, they get the highest price. If they're buying, we help them negotiate the lowest price. And that doesn't exist in the marketplace because there is not that third-party advisor. No one is overseeing the experts. In the equities market, like I said, in financial planning, there may be expert financial advisors, but they got a third-party advisor overseeing them. That's called the SEC. That's called compliance in their office. And that's also called standards of excellence because they work for large brokerage companies like the Merrill Lynch's, Goldman Sachs, and so forth. In real estate, you don't have that. You only really, in a strange way, you're only working with that individual. And that's who we usually talk to in a very inefficient way and say, Mary or Jim is a very good realtor. You really don't talk about the methodology or the standards of excellence of that brokerage firm in the real estate market. And that's what we hope to bring to the market.
That sounds good, Scott. That was a good answer. It's very true. I like what you said about how we kind of have a broad reach across the country. And I think the other distinctive point you made was, just if I could expand a little bit on that, is local buying power versus national buying power. What you were kind of saying is in your local area, if you're only limited to your resources locally, that's a very small pool of options that you have. And by expanding that into obviously what we have is a national partnership and all of our partners and realtors, mortgage brokers, again, you get the best pricing, service, and options, but now you can take a property from San Francisco, do an exchange, and go, say, to Portland or anywhere else in the country where you might get better returns, but then have the resources to buy it and manage it correctly where you couldn't do that before. So I think that's very good, Scott.
Yeah, and that's a very important part, and I'd like to share just a few of my thoughts on that because I forgot to talk about that. That's really interesting that real estate, as we know, is bought and sold by individual realtors to the clients, and it is regional, or even citywide. If you're an expert, you can't be an expert everywhere. You're an expert. If you're a San Francisco realtor, you probably know San Francisco well and some other cities. You can't really recommend Los Angeles or Salt Lake City or Portland with confidence unless you came from that area. So it's really, really subjective where you buy your property. What advice are you getting? Who are you getting that advice from? That realtor who's sitting in front of you. Can they offer other investments, i.e. other areas with confidence? And they may have another realtor that they know in Salt Lake City, but it's very difficult for them to know those areas. So in the equities market, it's interesting. Obviously, you can always buy bank stocks, technology stocks, any kind of mutual funds. The broker doesn't limit you to that. In real estate, you're very limited to the person who's sitting in front of you. Yeah. And that's really, really interesting when you think about that.
That's a good point, Scott. And then just to come to the defense of realtors, and obviously we have a lot of really great professional partners, and most of the realtors we meet, I would say 95% of them are all really fantastic at what they do in their local area. It's just a matter of having alternative options, and so it's not the realtor's fault. It's just the way the industry is set up. It's a little bit limiting, giving you those options and choices, and we're trying.
Yeah, and it's a little more difficult investment to grab your arms around. So it's not anyone's fault, and I'm glad you mentioned that. It's just a function of the industry, and no one really acts as that broker, objective party, third party advisor. And as I keep on mentioning, that's who we are.
Yeah, that sounds good, Scott. And then so, in the interest of keeping this video, a little bit shorter, we want to respect your time and make sure that everyone has time to watch this and not go too long. But why don't we wrap it up, Scott, with what you think SIF's overall distinct advantages, and again, maybe you can real quick talk about what we bring to the client as far as benefits, value, why somebody might want to choose SIF to use us as their advisor, and then why don't you go ahead and do that, and then I'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, so I'm going to repeat just our mission statement again, because now after going through what the story was and the problems, maybe it might make sense to more of the audience here, but again, at SIF, we believe our greatest value to our investors is to act as a third-party advisor between our real estate partners. And this is to ensure that our clients' investment returns are maximized. By changing the playing field, we can get the best service, pricing, and investment options. So I'm going to wrap this up in saying whether you are buying property, whether you are selling investment property, whether you need a third-party advisor to analyze your existing positions so you even know how well they're performing on cash flow and net returns, whether you are thinking about a 1031 exchange or you need asset management services, which is really managing your properties like a true investment, we act as that third party. And kind of giving you an example, I've worked with so many realtors around the country here that have a lot of experience. And being that third-party advisor, you can't always quantify it, what it does. but it is powerful because when we sold a property in Scottsdale, Arizona, the gentleman was number one in the whole area. He suggested that the top price we can get for our client was about $250 for this one single-family house in Scottsdale. By negotiating with him and by acting as a third-party advisor and also mediating between us, the client and the realtor, we got $270,000.
Yeah.
That's huge to the client.
That's a really good point, Scott. I remember there was another property that we had where we were actually able to get the owner an additional $100,000 on the sales price.
This was just recently. There was a property here in the Bay Area. Another experienced realtor, about, I think, 12 to 15 years experience, probably top 2, 3% producer for her firm. And she thought we could only get maybe about $995,000. That was for this very nice townhouse. Through negotiating, through looking at comps, through doing our due diligence at SIF, and through not convincing, but looking at the numbers and realizing where the market was, we got the client $1.1 million.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And these are both experienced realtors. I'm not knocking them. It's just, again, having a third-party advisor is tremendously powerful for the client, and that's really our value. Hopefully those two examples can help state whether you're buying or selling or doing exchange. There's no doubt in our mind that we can help you tremendously.
Well, that sounds good, Scott. To kind of wrap it up, one thing we didn't mention was, just so everyone knows, we do offer a free consultation, so you can find that on the website. I obviously want to thank Scott for taking time for the call. I know you're pretty busy.
Thanks, Brad.